right. How y'all doing? Good. All right. So I realize I got these, you know, I'm going to move this stuff just a little bit here. We're talking about the boots of peace this morning. So I brought some examples because I like, you know, y'all like props, right? All right. But I think with this, you can't quite see the best prop I got on. I think I wore these like 8 years ago. Anybody remember that? A few of you remember it 8 years ago? Jackie Gores. So we're going to continue on. We're working our way through Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the full armor of God. So this series is kind of called Gear Up. So we were talking about having the right gear on. So let's jump right into it. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 10. And we're going to read down through verse 15. Now, again, I encourage you, we put the scriptures on the screen for your convenience, but I encourage you to bring your Bibles, bring your journal, making notes in it. You know, as we discover and unpack God's word, you want to make notes and apply it to yourself, okay? So let's read Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to... Okay, you guys are catching on. Remember, whenever we can't say stand firm real convincingly when we're sitting. So, all right, so that you'll be able to what? Stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All right, so what we've covered so far in this series, and again, if you missed the past week, you can always go to our website and grab it off the archive there. But what we've established so far is that what Paul says here is we have to remind ourselves we are in combat. We are in battle with spiritual forces. People are not our enemy. I want you to say that. People are not our enemy. Okay, all together now. I know we're all kind of all over the place here. We're all excited to say it. People are not our enemy. All right, we are not at war with each other. We are at war with the enemy, who is the root of all evil in this world. And so that's where we direct our attention. That's where we wage war. We have grace for each other while we wage war uncompromisingly, unflinchingly against the devil, who is the liar, the thief, the murderer of old. All right, so we're in battle against the devil. And we talked about all the components of the full armor of God. Paul says, put on all the full armor so that you no piece is left exposed. And we talked about the ready stance. Paul says, stand firm before you even put the armor on. All right? So the ready stance, we said, is an attitude of forgiveness. And what that does is that allows us to stand firm and not give an advantage to our enemy. We are ready. We are quick to forgive. That is the ready stance. Okay? And then he says, put on the belt of truth. God's truth is our primary defensive weapon. Everything else hinges off of God's truth. That's where it's based. The belt puts the whole outfit together, ties it all together, right? And then the breastplate of righteousness, the body armor, if you will, protects us from the small arms fire of the enemy. Temptations that he lobs at you, but because you walk in righteousness, they just ping off you and you go, nope, I know where that's coming from. I can deflect that and stay in the fight and direct it not towards each other, not take my righteousness off and beat somebody else with it and show you, well, see how good I am and how poor you are. No, the second we take our breastplate off, we've left ourselves exposed. We leave our armor on, we walk in God's righteousness, and that allows us to stay in the fight and stay engaged with the enemy, who is?
Satan,
the devil, who is not people, each other. Right, okay. So that's what we've established so far. So now we're going to talk today about the boots of peace. Now, I want to remind ourselves that, you know, there's a progression here as we go through the armor, okay? And peace is part of a progression, and we'll see how it all flows together. But we don't want to make the mistake of thinking, well, I'm just going to put the belt on, and I'm just going to worry about that, and not worry about my righteousness, and not worry about peace, and not worry about my salvation, not worry about faith, because that leaves everything else exposed, right? It all works together, all right? Even though there is a progression, and God is constantly upgrading, if you will, our armor. as we spend time with him, as we devote time with him, in communication with him, talking to him, reading his word, writing it out, allowing the experiences and the things that we go through to refine us, battle test us, and then he goes, you go like, okay, now I had this experience, and this is what happened. I learned from it as a result of it, so that the next time it comes around, my armor's in a little bit better shape. Right? So God is constantly upgrading our armor, but we put it all on, even as we see here, it all comes back to you got to put the belt on first. Now, how many of you have ever tried to put your have ever put your shoes on first and then try to put your pants on over it? How'd that work out for you? Doesn't work out so well, does it? Right? Okay, so we put the belt on first, then the shoes. Now, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy because I think this way, but when I get dressed, okay, if I put pants on, I put my belt on before I put my shoes on. And I do that because I'm thinking, if I have to run out of the house this instant, I cannot wait one more second. It is better for me to run out with a belt in place that's going to keep my pants on than it is for me to run out without shoes on. You're going to get, I mean, I'm not saying that's an ideal situation, okay? But I am saying that what is going to keep me mobile and in the best position possible for as long as possible, that means keeping the pants, because I can't put my wallet or anything else, can't put the weapon on my hip or anything like that if I don't have a belt on. So the belt goes on first, then I put the shoes on, right? In the same way, Paul is saying that peace is the result and flows out of truth. Okay, you can't just put that on first. Belts first, then shoes, okay? Peace is the result of truth, our belt, and righteousness, our body armor. And Paul, he says this later on in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Read me through, if you would, Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And really what we could say here is, but righteousness, then peace, then joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Righteousness, let's define that and how that works. What is righteousness? Right standing with God. Frank's reading the screen. Good job, Frank. Righteousness is simply right standing with God. Well, how do we be in right standing with God? First of all, we know we've acknowledged his salvation through Jesus Christ. We have said, Lord, I confess you as Lord, as Savior. And then righteousness is, I'm going to be do the best I can to understand your ways, God, and live according to them. I'm going to be obedient to you. Righteousness at its core is obedience to God's word. That's your breastplate, right? Okay, so righteousness is right standing with God, obedience to his truth. From righteousness flows peace. And I understand a lot of us think we misconstrue or think that peace is something that we arrive at, and that's the point we're going to make in just a second here. But peace is a state of being. It's not an action. It's not something you choose. From peace flows joy, which is the ability to choose a response to whatever situation you are experiencing based upon God's truth and perspective. Jenny and I were talking about this. We were driving the other day, and we had a long conversation. And she, you know, we were talking about it, and I said, "No, she's like, oh, I'm just testing you, see how you're doing." I'm like, "Oh, did I pass?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "We don't get to choose peace. We choose joy, but we choose joy because we are at peace." Ooh, how do we get there? All right, how do we do that? Okay. I think a lot of us get that, especially if you don't have a relationship with Christ, or you haven't known, right? That we think that if I just chase after peace, I mean, and I've done this too, you know, like, oh man, I just can't wait to go on vacation, you know, go to whatever spot. Where do you guys like to go? Like beach? How many of you like to go to the beach? All right, you find peace at the beach, right? How many of you are like, no, let me go to the mountains? Okay, what else is out there? Disney. Not peace. Depends on your perspective, I guess. What else? What? Shady Maple. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. What happens when we are disobedient? What happens is actually the opposite. We don't have peace, right? All right, so you get the idea. Like, oh, if I can just get to where that spot, you know, get to my, it's hunting season. How many guys are out there, guys and girls are out there hunting? How many people are hunting? Come on. Really? That's it? Wow. Okay. Well, there's a lot more hunters here. There must be second service folks. Right? You know, I've got my brother-in-law, like, oh, I just can't wait to get my spot in the woods. And it's like, ah, right? You know, you're going, yeah, right? Okay. That, and that's tranquility and that's enjoyment because of your personality. But going there is not peace. Okay. We don't get to choose peace. We can choose to be calm in a situation. We can choose to, you know, whatever you need to do, you know, breathing exercises, meditating on God's word. Okay. I'm going to choose to not respond emotionally. Those are all choices. Right? But that is not choosing peace. Peace is a state of being in which, well, I'm just going to get to it. All right? Peace is something you walk in, not arrive at. That's why Paul says, put on the shoes of peace, because you walk in them. You don't go, well, I'm going to walk over here so I can get into peace. No, you walk in peace because it's a state of being. All right. How many of you have ever, like, can I have some examples here, right? How many of you know, like, having the right footwear goes a long way towards helping you, not only what you want to accomplish, but your attitude in it? Sure, right? I mean, if you got the wrong pair of shoes on or shoes that don't fit or they're not appropriate for whatever task you are going about, that can make or break your success in that event, right? I mean, right, okay, you know, Disney. You know you're going to Disney. You know you are going to be spending a lot of time walking. What do you need? Good pair of shoes. Good sneakers, you know? All right? If you're going hunting, what do you, you know, if you're going to go hunting, are you wearing something like this? Hunting for seashells, sure. It's a good point. Because it depends what you're hunting, right? you know, Jenny and I, we'll be watching TV or watching a movie or something, you know, and we'll pick this stuff out, you know, like anytime, like we used to watch like the X-Files way back in the day, you know, and that, you know, Dana Scully is always running in the dark, up and down stairs in heels. You're like, yeah, okay. You know, one moment she's like this, the next thing, you know, like, okay, you know, or Die Hard, you know, John McClane, he's fighting terrorists off in his bare feet, you know, not really. Now, how effective is that? Okay. You know, I spent 20 years in law enforcement, and I thought this is where I could come back. I draw on my experiences there as an instructor and all that stuff, you know. For 20 years in law enforcement, man, it was like a never-ending search for the right footwear to do that job. You know, when I first started wearing, like, my first pair of work boots, they were the high ones, you know. They came up to here. You know, and you know, like, oh, we thought, at first you think you're all cool. And, you know, all you guys in the military, guys and gals in the military, you know, having a good pair of boots, like, you can endure a lot of stuff, a lot of situations, a lot of weather and all that stuff. But if your feet are hurting, right? And so I had these boots on, and they were up to here, and I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, they certainly protect me from a lot, but what? They're heavy. After like an hour of those things, you're like, oh, gosh, and then of course, and then you get, you know, nice in the wintertime, sure, but when it's August, oh man, could not wait to get those things off, right? And so for 20 years, I'm like, every year I try, let me try this pair, let me try this, you know. So I had these, and then I had, you know, kind of like these kind of sneaker things, you know. And then at one point I found these things. I can't mention the company because I don't get any endorsements from them. I don't want them to sue me, but there's a little orange sticker on it, so you know who it is. You know, I got these. I'm like, ooh, these look good. Now, you know, like we order stuff out of a catalog, so you couldn't try it on. And I thought, ooh, these will look, you know, low profile. You know, made from a good company that makes these boots. You know, it'll be a good, you know, in between a boot and something. You know, and I got them, and I thought, ooh, these are really nice. You know, what's the problem on it? Look at the sole on those things. About a quarter inch on there. They were great for in the office when I was sitting in my desk chair, but if the second I went out and now I'm in the community, I'm walking up and down the streets. Gosh, might as well be walking in bare feet. Okay, so it was just constant of like trying to find the right balance, because again, what you have on your feet goes a long way towards your success and the attitude that you're going to have in it. In the same way, then, when Paul says shod your feet with, you know, just like you're shoeing a horse, right? You're putting this thing on there. What you are walking in, the attitude that you have, the state of being that you are in. What you are walking in will go a long way towards determining how long you can stay in the fight and how effective you're going to be. If you are we're talking about being in combat with the enemy. And if you are easily distracted because your feet are hurting, because you're not walking in the right attitude or in the right state of being, you are going to be distracted from the real enemy and be concentrating about something else, and he's going to blindside you. Okay.
No hoof, no horse.
Rick's back. Hey, Rick. That's true, though, right? You got the horse doesn't have shoes on. It's not going anywhere. Not doing anything. Okay. All right. Let's see what else I have there. Different types. Yep. Okay. So we want to walk in peace. Now, again, that's the result of obedience. Let's look at our example. Let's look at Jesus. All right. You think, well, Jesus. Yeah. But the examples are here for a reason. In Mark 4, I'll read Mark chapter 4 because it's a narrative here. Okay. So in Mark chapter 4, it says, "On that day, when evening came, Jesus said to them, 'Let us go over to the other side of the sea.' Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.' And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?'" And you think, well, that's a little harsh, isn't it? How many of you think that's a little harsh on Jesus' part? Like, well, okay, like, well, what's going on here? Right? But again, Jesus is understanding, we have to understand his perspective, what he walked in, and that's the example that we're to follow, okay? So first of all, Jesus did only what the Father said to do. He said that. He said, "I can only do what the Spirit tells me to do." So the only thing I do is, so he was completely obedient to the Father. Yes, he was God in the flesh, but he was a human being who made that choice. I'm going to be obedient to God's word. So he was obedient. Everybody say obedient. All right. So obedience, right, is righteousness. So because he was righteous, he chose to be obedient, he walked in a state of peace because his relationship with God the Father was correct. And when your relationship with God is correct, it's aligned, and there's no room for anything that you go, "Oh, I know I'm not doing, I know I'm being disobedient," right? Then everything's good. You know, your kids know, right? You know when your kids have done something wrong. Why? Because all of a sudden they don't want to look at you. They're hiding somewhere. You know what? Okay, what'd you do? Right? But when they come out, truth needs no alibi, right? Truth gonna come out. Yep, you're fine. They know. Okay, things are right. But when there's a rift, then they're not at peace, okay? So because he was righteous, he walked in peace. What did God say? God told him, go to the other side of the lake. Go to the other side of the sea. That's why he said, let's go. Why did he say that? Because God the Father said, I want you to go to the other side of the sea. So we get in a boat. We're going. The storm is irrelevant. It's irrelevant to Jesus. Whether it's a storm or it's smooth sailing, it has no bearing on his obedience to what God said he wanted him to do. And he had ultimate trust and faith that God said, this is where I want you to go, then that's where he's going to take me. We're going. What it looks like when we get there is irrelevant. It's so irrelevant to him because he walks in his state of peace that he's sleeping in the stern. Why is that important? Where's the stern on a boat? It's in the back. What else is in the back? Who else sits in the back? The pilot. He says he's sleeping on the stern on the cushion. The cushion for what? The cushion where the pilot sat. So Jesus is sleeping in the middle of the storm in the pilot's seat of the boat. Let me tell you, folks, if Jesus can sleep, be asleep at the wheel, not just Jesus take the wheel, but he's asleep at the wheel in the middle of a storm, then so can you. You can be at peace too. Even though he's asleep, he's driving that boat, okay? So if God's got it, then you got it too, all right? All right, so we walk in peace. Now look, when our relationship with God is correct, then we walk in peace. Look at and what he does for us then. Let's read Proverbs 11, starting with verse 5. The righteousness of the blameless will smooth his way. What does smooth mean, right? Smooth is calm. Peace, easy going, right? The righteousness, obedience, the obedience will smooth your way. Let's read on. But the wicked will fall by his own wickedness.
the righteousness of the upright, or the obedient, right, will deliver them, but the treacherous will be caught by their own greed. The righteous, the obedient, is delivered from trouble, but the wicked takes his place. Okay? So again, when your relationship with God is properly aligned, then everything else, it has a positive effect, a ripple effect on everything else. However, if you are consciously walking out of God's obedience, walking away from his will, not doing what he's told you to do, then it's going to affect everything else. There was a 2-year period in my life. In all essence, grew up in the church here from the time I was about 10 years old, you know, all through that stuff, and, you know, teenage years and young adulthood and all that stuff, and serving in ministries and all that stuff. And it was about a 2-year period of my life where I was absolutely miserable because I knew down deep I was being disobedient to what God had told me to do. He had put a calling in my life, and I was running from it because I was scared and all that other stuff. And so instead of leaning into that and going, yeah, okay, Lord, help me to serve, I said, I'm out. I'm out of ministry. I don't want to serve anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit on the sidelines and just go to church and all that. And Rick and Nancy and Jenny and the rest of the CMT, they wouldn't let me do all that stuff. But inside, I was miserable, okay? And everything was paying a price for it. Relationships, attitude, all the stuff. Why? Because I was being disobedient. My relationship with God wasn't right. He had this thing. He's like, Cliff, I want you to do this. I'm like, I'm not listening to you. No. Right? I can do that. I can just ignore you, God, and get away with it. Okay. Right? And so there was a 2-year where everything else suffered as a result of me ignoring what God told me to do. And that comes back, not just, okay, that. So eventually I reached a breaking point and said, God, that's it. Okay, you win. You win. I am not at rest here. I'm not at peace. And it's causing problems in my marriage. Whatever you want me to do. And, you know, not instantaneously, but absolutely. Things have gotten a whole lot better since then, since being walking in obedience with him. I would say this, even back when I was, when Jenny and I were overseeing, you know, our Elevate ministry, our junior and senior high ministry, I'd tell the kids back then, I said, you think serving God is difficult? Try running from him. Little did I know, you know, and of course then I went and did it, you know, so, okay. But the times in my life when I've not been able to, like, to sleep, okay, or rest, or be at peace, is because I was being disobedient when it came to God's word. You know, I've had those sleepless nights, because we weren't honoring God with our finances. We were spending way more than we were bringing in. We were living outside of our means, and what we were spending it on was, the priorities were all askew. And so then all of a sudden, now you're up to your eyeballs in debt, and the creditors are calling, they're going to repossess the car, all this stuff. That's not fun times, folks. Right? Not at peace. Couldn't sleep. Sick, all that stuff. Okay, so you know, in finances, in relationships, you know, like you have an issue with somebody, you have conflict with somebody, you don't resolve it, and you're just carrying around that bitterness, and you're carrying around, you're all worked up and all that stuff. You're not sleeping at night. You know, you're feeling sick. Okay, so there's every instance where we were disobedient. Again, serving God, serving in the ministry. You know, not being obedient. You know, be obedient. And then we walk in peace, because when we're in right standing with God, then everything else takes care of itself. Otherwise, we're trying to chase after. Well, if I can just do this and do that, and you know, and stand on one leg and assume the right position, then I'll be at peace. No, it's fleeting. Okay. Now, does that mean it's always been easy? No, because obedience does not stop the storms in life from coming. Jesus was obedient. The storm still showed up. So, you know, following after God does not mean that everything's going to be just, okay, everything's going to be perfect. There are storms in life that will come. But walking with him and being obedient to him will give you the peace that enables you to walk, or in Jesus' case, sail through it. All right? Peace is something we walk in, not arrive at. Now, we want to talk about the armor specifically that Paul's talking about here. And we want to talk about the snares that we're guarding against and how that works, okay? So, you know, he said, shod your feet, you know? So it wasn't just the bottom. It wasn't just these cool slippers or anything like that, all right? Or it wasn't even like, you know, we think about like sandals. Like, okay, that's good. You know, they all walked in sandals at the time because it was comfortable. He's talking about the Romans or the Greeks, the soldiers, who would wear, you know, a boot that covered pretty much up to the knee, all right? So not only covered the foot, but it covered the ankle, the shins, everything else. Why? Okay, because enemy combatants would lay traps and snares on the ground, like spikes and, you know, wooden spikes and stakes, and then they would cover it in the grass. So you're walking through the field and bang, whoa, you know, you would, like you would impale yourself on one of these things. Okay? Does that, is that going to take you out of the fight if you can't move? Absolutely. Right? So they would put this armor on that would cover you against the low-lying snares and traps of the enemy. That's what the, that's what he's talking about. So he says, put shod your feet with peace. Okay? Now, we can trade away, oftentimes we do, we trade away our protection for what we think is comfort. And that's what I did here. You know, I traded away protection because these things, they aren't even waterproof. And I found that out the first time I stepped in a puddle, you know? Like, psh, I'm like, oh, now I got wet feet and I'm uncomfortable because what's that word? Soul, thank you. It has no soul. Okay, so the point I'm making here is that you want what you walk in to be made of the right material. Just like I wanted my combat gear to be made of waterproof material, okay, but that was still breathable. Trying to find that balance so that I could walk in the snow or walk in the rain and not, you know, be dying in the summer times. Okay, trying to find that right balance, the right material. So in the same way, as we walk in peace, our peace has to come from the right material, okay? Now, again, my fuzzy bunny slippers are really comfortable, okay? In the house, right. But they offer little to no protection against the elements. It's not appropriate for me to wear them out in the street, okay? So Paul says, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, that's not a typo. That's not there by accident or just some cute phrase. He's making a very clear statement here. The gospel of peace. Well, what is the gospel, right? The gospel is all about what? Repentance. Jesus said, you know, Jesus shows up. We were talking about Bible study and prayer on Thursday night. We're reading through Matthew, you know, and Jesus begins his ministry. And the first thing he says in his ministry is repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. The gospel is all about repentance. What is repentance? It means to turn, right? Repent means I was going this way. I was doing things my own way. I was disobeying God. And I've come to realize the truth. So now I'm going to turn. That's what repent means. I'm going to stop going after my own way. I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to be obedient to you. That's repentance. That's what it means, right? So making the choice to turn towards God and away from our own selfish fleshly desires. That's what repentance is, and that's what the number one critical element of the gospel is, to repent. Lord, I'm sorry for all the things that I've done wrong, and I thank you that because of your son on the cross, you paid and covered that debt. Amen. Right? So, the material, the boots of peace are made from the material of repentance. Now, I said 2 weeks ago, our body armor, our righteousness, is held in place by the straps of humility. Humility. Yeah, I said humility. Thank you. What did I say? Humility. Our boots, the material, is made from repentance, an attitude of repentance. Okay? Our ready stance is one in which we're quick to forgive. Our boots, the attitude, the state of being that we walk in, is an attitude that is quick to repent for our own stuff. Not an attitude of self-righteousness, not justification, not any of that stuff. It's quick to say, I was wrong. I misstepped. Right? I stepped in error right there. I'm sorry. I own that quickly. All right, the boots of peace are quick to acknowledge our own wrongdoing and to ask for forgiveness, because the gospel is all about humility, not arrogance. Okay, so righteousness is held together by humility. Our boots are held together by forgiveness. And so what does that look like? I mean, and I'm sure you've all had experiences like this, but there is one instance in my only one that stands out, you know, like about falling into the snare and the trap of the enemy, that low-lying trap that's there that you didn't see coming, and you walked right into it because you didn't have, your peace on, right? So I was not walking in peace because I was not being obedient. So it was one day at work, you know, I worked as a parole officer, and one day at work, and every day is a circus, and it's crazy. And anybody who works in law enforcement or any kind of customer service, working with the public, you know every day is a circus and a disaster waiting to happen, right? And especially in law enforcement, you know, the phone never rings with somebody saying, hey, I just want to tell you what a great job you're doing. You know, like, that never happens. Anytime the phone rings, it's a crisis. And so it was one of those days, it was just a bad day, and everyone was having a bad day. It wasn't just me, but that was my first mistake. My first mistake of thinking, I'm the only one who's dealing with this. You know, it was a busy day, and there was all this stuff to do, and I'm the only one who's doing it. Why is everybody else pulling their weight? You know, all that stuff. And I had to work a 12-hour shift. It was a long, long day, right? And so at 4:30, when a lot of the other folks were going home, you know, I was with my partner, we're going to go out and do another shift yet, you know. And I was all riled up and irritated and pointing fingers and all this stuff, and I started complaining about one of my coworkers. And I said, I don't know what he thinks he's doing or his attitude. Blah, blah, blah. And she's looking at me, her eyes got real big. She's trying to wave me off like, mm-mm-mm. And he walked out from around the corner. He was still there. You got something to say to me? Yeah, you know, like, and I got about 10 seconds into that of this, and all of a sudden I just stopped and I was like, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I own it. As quick as I could to recognize the mistake because what happened, right? Not walking in righteousness. Didn't have the armor on. Didn't feel the attacks coming. And so now I fell into this snare of finger pointing and blaming and all this other stuff. Not really thinking about the fact that, you know, there's other people here and they all got their stuff going on. I made it all about me. And as a result of that, I ran, you know, not only did I cause harm to somebody else, but what did I do? I ran myself, you know, lost integrity, jeopardized a relationship here because I was openly complaining about somebody else and they knew about it. Now, the next day, we had to go, you know, the next day, let's, you know, we went to lunch, we had a long conversation, you know, explained things, and I started with, I am sorry, I was wrong, there's no justification for it, I was wrong, please forgive me. And we had a good conversation, and it ended up being an opportunity for us to, like, really come to an understanding with each other, and perspective, and all that stuff, right? But we both had to walk in an attitude that was quick to forgive. He could have held that over me and still, to this day, he's been like, yeah, well, that time. He didn't do that, you know? And I didn't do that either. You know, like, okay, you know, quick to forgive. So when we are quick to forgive, we can de-escalate a situation and we can go a long way towards maintaining peace. You know? Otherwise, you know, we want to get self-righteous, we get puffed up and be like, oh, yeah, well, that, what's that going to solve? Nothing, right? I talked about that, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, that ego dump that happens, that adrenaline dumps in a conflict, you know, what'd you say to me? Yeah, well, I'm going to puff my... Huh? What is that? What are we doing? We're escalating a situation. We're making things worse than we are. And are we concentrating on the real enemy here? No, because people are not our enemy. The enemy, the devil is. He's the one stirring it up. So, no. I see what you're doing here, Satan. Because I'm walking in obedience, I'm walking in peace, a state of peace, because I'm right with you, God. Right? I recognize where that attack comes from and go, oh no, I'm not falling for that. No, I'm going to maintain my peace and recognize I can only control what I can do and not worry about what other people are doing or not doing. It's irrelevant to what God has called me to do. So, stay in my lane, do the best that I can, and let other people work out their own stuff. Okay? And be a help to them and be a resource to them and say, okay, hey, I get it. And, you know, after time, like, we got to that point. And I know folks, you guys, you know, who work in an office, you know, well, maybe not since COVID anymore, but you remember those days when you actually had to go to work and sit next to somebody, right? Like, I worked in an office where there was four of us in a 15 by 15 room. I mean, you were talking about being up in somebody else's business. It's all there. And you're like, you know, and somebody would come in, you know, what's your problem? You know, and we had to learn to say, you know what, hey, guys, listen, I'm dealing with something else. It's not about you. So just give me some space here. Okay, fine. We understand. You know, but we had to have those conversations to walk in peace, all right? Jenny and I, we did a wedding on Friday. And over the course of the last few months, you know, talking with the couple and Zach and Tia, I know you guys are watching, so congratulations. talking about, you know, counseling with them and, you know, what does a healthy marriage look like and all those things. And we were able to bring out, you know, advice that, I'm glad Rick's here. I didn't know Rick was going to be here today, but Rick and Nancy gave us advice 24 years ago, Virginia, before we got married. You know, Rick said that, you know, the most important words that you can learn as a spouse Let's say it together. I'm sorry. I often am. Please forgive me. I'm sorry I was wrong. Oh, that's right. I do have that there. I do. You know what? You're right. I had it in my notes and I didn't put it on here. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I often am. That's the part that, right. That's the part that should be right there. I'll fix that for second service. See, I'm so glad you're here. This is awesome. What was that? It was meant to be. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. I'm sorry. I was wrong. That's the key part in all that. I was wrong. I often am. Please forgive me. You know, so in fact, if your spouse is here today, I want you to turn and look at him and say that. Right now. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I often am. Please forgive me. Half of you said it without smirking. That's pretty good. Or was saying, I'm sorry, you were wrong. You often are. Okay. But adopting, I mean, again, you know, and you guys get to put this in practice in your own homes, your spouse, your kids. You know, you get up in the morning, and I know I'm going to, you know, let me get my coffee first, then we can talk, you know, and we can be, you know, right? You get up in the morning, you know, somebody's muttering, mumbling, what's your problem? You know, what are we doing? Would you see me? Huh? You know, what's wrong with that? Okay, we're not walking in righteousness. We're making all kinds of assumptions. We're narcissistic. We're thinking about ourselves as opposed to walking around. Honey, something's bothering you. I'm on your side. I'm on your team. What can I do to help? Right? Okay. Give you a hug. Pray together. Absolutely. What did we do? What did we just do? We just de-escalated a situation. We did not make each other the enemy. We recognize where that attack's coming from. We pray together. Satan, I recognize what you try to do there, and you lose. Because what God has joined together, let no man separate. God, we're bringing you in it. You're the third cord, and therefore you lose, Satan. We're going to walk in peace. Right. Okay. Now, I want to talk about something I would train, and why, this is why I'm wearing the fuzzy bunny slippers and stuff. We have to understand how we can get distracted from stuff. And it's, again, this state of being that we walk in, state of walking in peace, okay? So part of our tactics and things we would talk about is something known as the five stages of situational awareness. You have color code situational awareness. Anybody ever heard of that? There's all kinds of different models out there. They all kind of come back to this, all right? But there's like pretty much five stages of our tension that we can operate in. Now, condition white is you are oblivious to danger. You're unsuspecting. I would say this is you sitting at home, reading the paper, feet up, with your fuzzy bunny slippers on. You are not expecting something bad to happen in your home, right? Most of us think that way. I know the joke goes, right? It's just funny. You know, my wife asked me, why do you wear a gun in the house? I said, Decepticons. She laughed, I laughed, the toaster laughed. I shot the toaster, good times. Right? You are not expecting danger in the safety of your house. I would tell my officers, the second you walk out the door, you should be in condition yellow. You are alert and attuned to, you're relaxed, not paranoid. We're not talking about paranoia where you're, there's something around every corner, underneath every, you know, Satan's underneath every tree, under every rock, around every corner. No, you're relaxed, but you are alert. You're paying attention. I said, if you're getting in a car, you better be in condition yellow. You're paying attention. You're driving down the road. You're seeing, okay, you're not nervous. You're not scared, but you're driving. You're checking your mirrors. You're checking rearview mirror, side mirror, ahead, always scanning as I'm driving. Where's a potential threat? Okay? Condition orange as you're driving is you recognize something that could be a potential threat. You see a basketball come doink, doink, doink down the driveway. Your brain tells you basketballs don't move by themselves. There's probably a human being on the other end of that attached to that ball somewhere, right? So now you're starting to, like, okay, your heartbeat starts to pick up a little bit, and you may hopefully your foot maybe comes off the gas a little bit, and now's not a time to, like, well, let me check the radio and let me fix my makeup or let me finish shaving or whatever you're doing in the car. Right? That's not the time to do that. Now is that condition orange at that time where I'm looking, what is this threat about? What's going to happen here? And then condition red is now you see that kid, he's chasing that ball, and he's oblivious to the fact that you're driving down the road, right? And so in condition red, your body, your adrenaline, everything's, you lose your fine motor skills, but you're able to do the things like, okay, I see him, hit the brake, hit the horn, right? check the mirror and swerve out if I can, if I'm safe to do so, and avoid a really bad day. All right, that's condition red, where your body responds to an immediate threat. Okay, and we bounce back and forth between all these things, and you can do it lightning fast, and you have to. Okay. What we don't want to do is be in condition black, where you're not, you know, you probably start here, you're driving down a road, completely oblivious to what's going on. Therefore, you're not paying attention, you don't see the warning signs, you don't see the danger signs, and therefore, when that ball and the kid jumps out in front of you, you're not able to respond, and that's a really, really bad day for everyone. We don't want to be in condition black, okay? The point of all that I would say is, don't wear your fuzzy bunny slippers when you walk out in the street. Don't wear your fuzzy bunny slippers out in the combat zone. Remember, people are not your enemy. The snare, we have to be on alert. Again, not paranoid, not accusatory, but we are alert to the fact that, something here is, there's a potential danger here. Somebody said something, or they did something. That's different. Right? You get up in the morning and your spouse is a little grumpy. Okay. Right, we the alert. You know, we go from condition white to condition red to yellow to red. Like, something's not quite right here. Now, am I going to pay attention to that? And how am I going to respond to it? Am I just going to continue on in my obliviousness? And I'm like, well. And therefore, when that, you know, now that situation now escalates, you know, now we've gone to condition black, or we've responded inappropriately. Of, you know, what's your problem? Now we've escalated a situation. Now we've created a mess. Because now we have to work through conflict. Now we have to work through whatever. We've lost peace. And folks, I want to tell you this. Satan cannot steal your peace. He can't. You can choose to give it away by being disobedient to God's word. But he can't steal your peace. You give that up of your own. When you are quick to be humble, then your feet will lead you to walk in peace. Okay? Quick to be humble. That's the, you know, quick to, okay, honey, you know, something's going on, you know, your kid, hey, sweetheart, something's bothering you, you can talk with me, you know, I'm not condemning you, I'm not, you know, you can tell me anything, you can trust me, I'm always going to love you, I'm going to support you, I'm going to care for you, you know, what is it, okay, rather than, well, you know, you'll do it because I said so, or because, you know, just because, right? Why, what is that? You're questioning my authority, so therefore I'm going to puff myself up. What would you say to me? No. Adopt the attitude. No. You know, humble. And then recognize, you know, hey, that hurt me, you know, 2 days ago when you said, and I've been trying to wrestle with it and trying to let it go, but it just keeps coming up. So I got to tell you about it. Okay. Well, yeah, you did this and you did, you know, you let, you know, honey, it bothered me when, you know, you left the towel on the floor for like the 800th time. Whatever, or I feel like, okay, you know, there's all this stuff, and I have all this work to do, and I don't feel like I'm not getting any help, you know. But I this, that, you, okay, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm distracted. I wasn't fulfilling my end of the bargain, you know, the contract we have. So I'm sorry. Please forgive me, you know. All right. Walk in peace. Let's read James 1:19-20. This you know, my beloved brethren, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Right? I mean, again, God's given us two ears and one mouth for a reason, so you can listen twice as much as you talk. But we get that backwards. You know, we just want to spew all our stuff and make ourselves known, get it out there, blah, 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 and not actually hear what anybody else is saying. And what are we doing? We're steamrolling people. Remember I talked about, you know, you can drive that tank of armor, you know, and you can be really secure in that, but you're going to steamroll a whole lot of people as you do and make a big mess. Okay? We listen, you know, and I, as an officer, I would tell our guys, look, don't, so many people would get in there like, okay, I just want to, you're just a check mark to me. I'm just going to, yep, you know. I mean, I've heard officers like really walk in, you know, and talk to somebody. So how are you doing today? Well, not so good because, you know, my husband and I are having a hard time and I just got diagnosed with cancer and our cat died and I lost my job. Oh, okay, so any other thing else going on? Are you really, like, it's just a check, okay. Okay, you know, but to engage in that and listen, right, and not respond in anger, not respond in pride, not respond in arrogance. Okay, be slow to anger, because we can't walk in righteousness. And if we can't walk in righteousness, then we can't walk in peace. So, rigid, inflexible shoes. Right, think about the, you know, the pair of shoes that you had to wear for a wedding or something. Guys, you know, I had to put the dress shoes on, and I hate having to put the dress shoes on because they're stiff, you know, it's like, argh, you know. And it was up in the mountains too, you know, so like we were at World's End State Park, you know, so it was kind of, it was really kind of clever because, you know, I had the dress shoes on, but I noticed like all the girls in the dresses, you know, they had these beautiful gowns and all that stuff on, and I, as they're coming down the steps, I could see they had sneakers on underneath, you know. Like, that's cool, you know. They didn't know. You're not going to wear heels and that stuff because, you know, I'm going to a bad day, okay? But you don't want these rigid, inflexible shoes that are going to result in a severe discomfort. And if you walk around with this attitude of I'm always right and everything is everyone else's fault, you are inflexible, you are going to be in discomfort. You will not have peace. Adopting the attitude of self-righteousness or arrogance will not result in peace. You know, I'm studying this past week, and we have to realize, folks, if we are doing and living according to God's biblical instructions, if we are loving like Jesus did, right, can we all agree Jesus was the most loving person ever? Sure, no one even questioned it. He was the most loving person. Did he speak truth? Yeah. Was he ever going to lie to you? No. Okay. Was he kind? Did he do all this great stuff? Yeah, and what did they do for him? What did they do to him as a result of it? They killed him, horrifically. They were so angry, so upset with him, they killed him. And not only Jesus, but as you go through the New Testament, anybody who followed Jesus and lived like he did, loved like he did, spoke truth like he did, they hated him, and they killed him. And 2,000 years later, folks, it's the same thing. If you love like Jesus, if you speak truth like him, if you walk in his footsteps, yes, great things will happen, and you will reach people, and you will preach the gospel, and other people will come to know him, love him, and serve him. And that's what we should be doing, and we don't get distracted from that. But the reality is, there will always be the people out there who are going to hate you for it. They're going to hate you, maybe without reason, without cause. They have their reason, they have their cause. They're going to hate you. They're going to revile you. They're going to slander you. And Jesus said, when that happens, when they revile you, blessed are you. Blessed are you for being reviled for my name's sake. Not for your own stuff. Not because you're reviled because you're a bulldozer and a steamroller and you just like flattening people because you treat people unkindly. But blessed are you when you are reviled for his name's sake. So, and I've had to learn this, you know, and I mean, I know, even just when I began serving in ministry a few years ago, I wasn't quite here yet, you know, like, oh, I came out of that law enforcement, what would you say to me? You know, I've learned, you know what, I make mistakes, and the quicker I can get to be to say, yep, you know, right, I was wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me, you know, de-escalate things, own it, because which all that comes, you know, inability to forgive yourself comes from a poor understanding of who you are and who God has made you to be. When you understand and spend time in his word and let him transform your thoughts and you see the value that God the Father has in you, that changes the way you think about yourself. You're more often give yourself grace, and if you can give yourself grace, then you can give it to other people. Right? So, and if you can forgive yourself, then you can be quick to say, okay, you know, I'm sorry, all right, and forgive others, all right. So, point of that, we don't want to be inflexible. We don't want to be so, you know, like robotic and so walled off that we can't ever admit that we've done something wrong. And so I own that. I say, yeah, I've made mistakes. And my heart breaks for the people that I've hurt as a result of that. But I have to be, at the end of the day, I have to be obedient to what God has said to do. And that's the only thing that matters. And as a result of that, I have peace. You know, people can say what they want. That's that's their opinion, okay? And you're entitled to it. But it's not going to change, you know, it's not going to change what I have to do. And I'm going to walk. I'm not the one up late at night, you know, tossing and turning and all that stuff. Like the scriptures say, the righteous sleep. They sleep well. Okay. So if you find yourself and you're caught up, you're riled up about something, all right, go to forgiveness. Own it yourself, whatever part you played in it. Own it, and then be quick to forgive the other person, and watch how your state of being changes. Right? Jesus said this in Matthew 6:12. Let's read it. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. You know, I think we hit on this. You know, yeah, I have to forgive the wrongs that have been done to me. Absolutely. But it starts out with, Lord, forgive me, because I messed up. I have a part to play too. I'm not perfect. Right? So as quickly as I ask you for forgiveness, then I can offer forgiveness to somebody else. Okay? So we are quick to forgive an offense, and even quicker to repent for our own offenses. That's the attitude. That's the attitude that will help you that will result in you walking in peace, that state of being. Okay? So our main point as we close our time, you know, the other half of it, peace is something you walk in as the result of an attitude of humble repentance. Amen? Amen. Music team, you guys want to come up? As they're coming up, I pose these questions to you. First and foremost is, you know, and we'll give you an opportunity here in a minute, but if you desire to have peace with God, to have right standing with Him, you know that your relationship with Him isn't right, but you want it. We'll give you that opportunity to be at peace with Him. Then I'm asking you, you know, kind of metaphorically, do your feet hurt from wearing the wrong shoes in combat? Are you wearing something that's rigid and inflexible? Or are you wearing something that offers no protection? And as a result, you know, you've been impaled by the snares and the traps of the enemy. Are you walking in humble repentance? I'm going to ask everyone here to close your eyes for a minute. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. First and foremost, if you're here and you desire to have peace with God through a right relationship with Him, if that's your desire, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand and look at me. Anybody here making that choice today? I see you there. I see you there. There. I see you there. Okay. The second question is, have you fallen into a trap? Have you been ensnared by the trap of the enemy and allowed your peace, given away your peace by not walking in repentance? If that's you today, you just need to repent for there's a relationship or a situation that you need to go and make it right. If that's you, just raise your hand. Okay, I see you. I see you. Yep. Balcony, okay. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Because I'm going to ask you to repeat it one sentence at a time after me, if you would, please. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord, that you love me so much. You value me so much. You gave your life for me, despite all the things that I had done wrong. Thank you for dying for me, Lord. I accept that gift today. I repent from my sin, and I thank you that you help me now to walk in obedience to your ways, to walk in an attitude that is quick to repent and quick to forgive. And I thank you, Lord. As a result, you cause me to walk in peace. Thank you for doing it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.